Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? This time we're tackling something that's both ancient and surprisingly relevant to our modern world. Myths.
And not just myths in the traditional sense of gods and monsters.
Right. We're talking about how these stories, these explanations of the world, still impact us, even in our super science-driven times.
You sent in some really interesting sources for this one, too.
Oh yeah, we've got academic papers, psychology studies, even some stuff on debunking paranormal phenomena.
It's a pretty wild mix, but there's a common thread running through all of it.
That human need to explain the world around us.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is how that need has evolved over time, how it plays out in our brains, and why sometimes, even when we kind of know better.
Those myths still hold on tight.
Exactly. So we're going to try to unravel all of that today.
Sounds like a plan. Now,
Yeah.
one of the first things that jumped out at me from the sources was this idea about the evolution of gods.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Well, I always thought of early religions as being super localized, like spirits in every tree and rock.
Very nature focused.
Yeah. But the sources suggest there was this shift where gods became less about everyday objects and more like these powerful, larger-than-life figures.
Right. And that shift seems to be linked to the growth of societies themselves. You actually had a great example of this in your sources, the Ilhita community in New Guinea.
Oh, yeah, with their shared deity, Tambran.
Exactly. They had 39 different clans all living under the watchful eye of this one deity.
And apparently, having 2,500 people living peacefully in that region was pretty rare back then.
Researchers think that this shared belief in Tambaran played a big role in keeping the peace.
So it's like, as groups got bigger, they needed bigger gods to unite them.
That's the idea. And we see this pattern in other places too. Imagine early societies where the god who could explain the most, like good harvests, scary eclipses, whatever it might be.
They get more followers.
Right. It's almost like a popularity contest for deities.
The survival of the fittest god.
Exactly. And that might be how those big gods we see in ancient Sumeria, for example, came to be. They offered this sense of order in a world that could feel very chaotic.
It makes you wonder, is it almost hardwired into us to search for these like overarching explanations? But then what happens when those explanations, those myths, clash with, scientific discoveries?
Yeah.
You sent over Andrew White's History of the Warfare of Science with Theology in Christendom.
Ah, yes, that's a classic.
And wow, there's some intense examples in there.
Oh, absolutely. White chronicles centuries of tension between those holding on to traditional explanations and those embracing new scientific methods.
It really highlights how deeply ingrained certain beliefs can become
Yeah.
and how resistant to change.
Definitely.
There's that story about Roger Bacon, the Franciscan friar who was also a scientist.
Oh, yes.
Can you imagine being punished for trying to understand the world through observation and experiments?
Talk about being ahead of your time.
It just shows how threatening new ways of thinking can be to those in power or those who benefit from the existing system.
It does make you wonder, why do some explanations stick even when the evidence contradicts them?
Right. Is it just about power dynamics?
Could be.
Or is there something about how our brains work that makes us like prone to believe certain things?
Well, that's a question we'll have to explore further.
Definitely. Now, one of the sources brought up Occam's razor.
Ah, the principle of parsimony.
Right. The idea that the simplest explanation is usually the best.
So if you can explain something without bringing in, supernatural beings or mysterious forces.
That's probably the way to go.
Exactly. But then the question becomes, how do you actually disprove a myth?
That's a good point. Just because we haven't found evidence for something doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
True. You can't really prove a negative.
So it's less about like proving or disproving things and more about shifting how we think.
I think that's a great way to put it. Occam's razor encourages us to be wary of adding unnecessary complexity to our explanations. Instead of jumping to this must be magic, maybe we should ask, what are the most likely natural explanations?
So even in our modern world, myths still have this huge impact. It's like these stories are woven into our cultural DNA or something.
And that's a really important point to consider. Those early narratives, the ones we encounter in childhood, they really can shape how we see things. Our sources talked about neuronal pathways, the connections in our brains that are formed as we learn.
So even if we learn new things later on, those early pathways, those early stories are still there, influencing us.
It's kind of like a well-worn path to forest. The more you walk it, the easier it becomes to follow. Same goes for the ideas we encounter early on. They leave their mark.
That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it?
It's not about being scared. but about being aware. It helps explain why it's so hard to change deeply ingrained beliefs, even when we're presented with evidence that contradicts them. You know, one of your sources mentioned how religions rarely spread to cultures with very different existing mythologies.
Oh, right. Like trying to explain reincarnation to someone who grew up believing in a heaven and hell system? Their brains are already wired for a totally different way of thinking about the afterlife.
Exactly. It's almost like trying to teach an old dog new tricks. Those early pathways are so ingrained.
So it's easier to kind of tweak an existing concept than introduce a totally new one.
That seems to be the case. Which brings us to the question of what roles myths play in societies. We've talked about explanation, but there's got to be more to it than that, right?
Totally. Like, they provide a sense of community.
Right. Shared value.
A shared moral compass.
It's a feeling of belonging.
Exactly. Like, if everyone believes the same story about where they came from or what happens after death,
it creates a powerful bond.
It's like a social blueprint, right?
Yeah, exactly. Myths can provide answers to those big questions. Who are we? Where do we belong? What's the point of all this? In a way that resonates on an emotional level. They connect individuals to something larger than themselves.
Whether that's a tribe, a nation,
or even a cosmic order.
Right. And that feeling of belonging, of being part of something bigger, can be so motivating. Like, if you truly believe that a God has a plan for you,
you might act differently than someone who believes they're just a random speck in the universe.
For sure. But then there's the flip side of that, right? Myths can be motivating, but
they can also discourage critical thinking.
Like, if God has a plan, questioning that plan might seem
pointless.
Or even dangerous.
Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword. Myths can offer comfort and meaning, but they can also be used to manipulate or suppress dissenting views.
Makes you think about how myths have evolved beyond traditional religions, too. Like, we live in this world of science fiction, where spaceships and aliens have almost become mythic figures themselves.
Have we simply replaced old gods with new ones?
Right. It's a fascinating question. You included some sources on New Age movements like Scientology and Raelianism, which kind of blend science fiction with traditional religious elements.
It seems like our need for explanations for these grand narratives is pretty insatiable.
But do these new systems actually explain anything new? Or are they just dressing up the same old mysteries in, like a sci-fi costume? I guess that's something we'll have to explore further as we dive into debunking paranormal phenomena.
Which, by the way, is where those 150 years of parapsychology research you provided come in. Get ready for some serious myth busting.
Okay, so let's dig into this paranormal puzzle. You sent over a ton of research on parapsychology, like over 150 years worth.
It's a pretty impressive body of work.
It is. But one thing that really struck me was, well, the lack of conclusive evidence.
Yeah, that is a bit of a head-scratcher, isn't it? You'd think with all that research, we'd have some solid proof by now.
Right. If someone could, like, reliably move objects with their mind or predict the future, wouldn't we have heard about it? Wouldn't that be front-page news?
You'd think so. But people still spend billions of dollars on esoteric services, psychics, mediums, all that stuff.
So what is it about the paranormal that keeps us so hooked, even without that scientific backing?
Well, part of it might be how our brains are wired. You know, we're natural pattern seekers. We're always trying to connect the dots and find meaning, even in totally random events.
Like seeing a face in a cloud, or thinking you're on a lucky streak because you win a lottery ticket after finding a penny.
Exactly. That tendency to find meaningful patterns where there really aren't any, it's called apophenia.
Apophenia. Gotta love those fancy science words.
It helps explain a lot, actually. Why we love conspiracy theories, why we knock on wood, why we see ghosts and shadows.
So are you saying it's all in our heads? Like our brains are just tricking us?
Not necessarily tricking us, but our brains definitely have a knack for finding patterns even when they don't really exist.
So are we, like, doomed to see these illusions even when we know better?
Not doomed, no. That's where critical thinking comes in. It's about stepping back, questioning our assumptions, and looking for alternative explanations. Like with those 150 years of parapsychology research, it's important to really look at the data, the methodology, and see if the conclusions actually hold up.
That makes sense. One of the sources mentioned this concept of the illusion of knowledge.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's this idea that we think we understand something just because it's familiar or fits our worldview, even if we haven't really examined the evidence.
Stephen Hawking said it best. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, it is the illusion of knowledge.
So true. And it applies to so many things, not just the paranormal.
Absolutely. From alien abductions to the Bermuda Triangle, these stories tap into our sense of wonder and mystery, but they often lack that solid evidence.
It's like we'd rather have a cool story than a boring truth.
Well, stories are powerful, but in a world where we're constantly bombarded with information, that critical thinking is more important than ever.
So we need to be like savvy consumers of information, not just passive recipients.
Exactly. Question what you read, evaluate the sources, look for those red flags of bias or misleading claims. It's about being an active participant in shaping your own understanding of the world.
All really good points. But beyond just the individual level, the sources also talk about how myths function on a like societal level.
Right. We touched on the positive aspects, community building, moral guidance, but there's a darker side to that coin too.
Yeah, like historically, myths have been used to control and manipulate people.
Think of the Salem witch trials or the persecution of heretics during the Inquisition. Fear and superstition can be powerful tools in the wrong hands.
And those same tactics are still used today.
Yeah. Right?
Like some nationalist ideologies draw on myths of racial purity or historical destiny.
To create an us versus them mentality.
Exactly. It's a way to demonize outsiders and justify discrimination.
Myths can be incredibly powerful in creating in-groups and out-groups, and those divisions can have devastating consequences.
So how do we navigate this like really complex landscape of myth and belief? How do we appreciate the power of these stories while also being, you know, critical thinkers?
I think it's about recognizing that science and myth operate on different levels. Science seeks to explain the mechanisms of the universe, the how things work. While myths address these deeper human needs, our longing for meaning, purpose, belonging.
And recognizing that both have their limitations, right? Science can't answer every question, and myths shouldn't be blindly accepted without scrutiny.
Absolutely. It's about finding that balance, embracing wonder and skepticism, recognizing the power of stories while also being critical thinkers. We need both.
Right. So, big question here. Can science truly replace traditional myths? Your sources had some interesting perspectives on this.
Yeah. Some argue that as our scientific understanding grows, we'll have less need for those mythical explanations. But then there are others who point out that science, while amazing, doesn't address all our human needs.
It can tell us how the universe works, but not necessarily what it all means.
Exactly. Science doesn't inherently provide a moral framework or comfort in the face of, you know, existential dread.
So we still crave those narratives that speak to our emotions and help us make sense of those big life questions, even if those narratives now involve black holes and quantum entanglement instead of gods and monsters.
It seems like the need for stories, for explanations that resonate deeply, is just part of being human.
So what does all this mean for our listener, for someone who's been on this deep dive with us into the world of myths? What would you say is the big takeaway here?
I think it's about understanding that myths are more than just tales we tell. They're powerful forces that shape our worldviews, our societies, and even ourselves. And while they can inspire and unite, they can also be used to manipulate and divide. So the key takeaway, never stop questioning. Be curious, be skeptical, be a critical thinker. Don't just accept things at face value, especially in a one is saturated with information. This deep dive has just been the beginning.
Wow, we really have gone deep on this one, huh? It's crazy to think about how these seemingly simple stories, these myths, have had such a huge impact on human history and culture.
And they're still shaping our thinking today, even in ways we might not even realize.
You gave us so many great sources for this deep dive. It's really changed how I look at the world.
I think one of the biggest takeaways is that we shouldn't underestimate the power of these stories, these myths.
Yeah, they're definitely more than just like bedtime stories.
Exactly. Whether they're ancient tales passed down for generations or modern narratives fueled by science fiction, they tap into something very fundamental about the human experience.
That need for explanations, for meaning, for connection.
Exactly. And while science offers incredible insights into how the universe works, it doesn't always satisfy those deeper longings.
Right. Like science can tell us how the universe works, but not necessarily what it all means.
Exactly. Science doesn't inherently provide a moral framework or comfort in the face of, you know, those big existential questions.
So we still crave those narratives that speak to our emotions and help us make sense of life's big questions, even if those narratives now involve black holes and quantum entanglement instead of gods and monsters.
It seems like the need for stories, for explanations that resonate deeply with us, is just part of being human.
So what's next for our listener who's been on this deep dive with us?
Yeah.
What would you recommend for someone who wants to keep exploring this topic?
Well, there's a whole universe of fascinating resources out there. If you're interested in the psychology of belief, I'd highly recommend checking out the works of Richard Wiseman and Steven Pinker.
And for those who want to dig deeper into like debunking paranormal claims, websites like the Skeptic's Dictionary are great resources. Well, this has been an incredible deep dive. It's made me realize how much myths are a part of how we see the world.
And how important it is to approach them with both curiosity and a healthy dose of skepticism. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and never lose that sense of wonder. The world is full of mysteries, and unraveling them is a journey worth taking.